Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Wow, I like that. Holy Spirit used me to say something today that helps. Something that uplifts, something that encourages. I'd just like us to walk out of here excited about You today, Lord. And so we just thank You. We thank You for all the praise and worship. Thank You for the word that you gave us through Kenny. We thank You for the word that You're speaking to all of our hearts right now. And we just give You praise for it. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. You know, I firmly believe, I've lived my life by this ever since I've been saved. I say it all the time, I preach it all the time, but I believe that there's not one person, saved or lost, that God didn't, before you were ever conceived, had a purpose for you. I see so many people today going through life without purpose, without any meaning. And you know, the truth is, we can come up with all the activities and all the things that we think we should do and the professions and everything else, but until we are linked into God's purpose for us, we fall short. There's never that rest, Kenny, there's never that peace until we are operating in God's purpose for us. I believe that He has a purpose for us. I believe that He has assignments for us. Some are big, some are little. But every day that I wake up, I think, God, what is my assignment today? What do You have for me today? And I believe that He also places us right where we need to be. That's what I believe. But today I want to talk about the placement just a little bit. The right place, the right time. Because I believe that God has a place for you. I believe He has the right place for you to be just at the time that He wants you to be there. In Genesis 1, God created a place and then He created Adam. In Genesis 2, He put Adam in the place that He had created him for it. That makes sense? When we're talking about purpose and all that purpose, let's just define the terms a little bit. Purpose is something that's set up as an objective or an end to be attained or an intention. I believe God has an intention for each one of us. Assignment is a specific task or amount of work assigned. Placement means the act of putting something in a particular place, of placing people in a suitable place. Now, I'm going to talk about placement because I believe really placement is the thing that we are able to control the most. Purpose, you know, you just, how many has ever said, God, I want Your will in my life. I want to be what You want me to be. I want to be. See, purpose involves a want to. There has to be a willingness. If you don't want to follow God, then really nothing else is going to make any difference. But you have to want to do that. And so assignment is then you have to be willing. You have to be willing to hear and to obey to get an assignment done. But placement means you have to be committed. You have to be committed to be in the right place. You have to be committed to where God tells you to be. And so to me, placement probably is the most important of these three because I don't know about you, but I don't always know my purpose. I don't always know exactly what my assignment is. But I've learned that if I can be in the right place, it really doesn't matter what I know, because if I'm in the place that God set me to be and told me to be, if I'm in that place, then everything else is going to flow to me. Everything else is going to happen. I'll end up doing my assignment. I'll end up accomplishing my purpose just because I'm in the right place. But I have to be willing to go. I have to be willing to do that. So I believe placement, being the right time, the right place. I believe that means the geological place we are. I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of pretty places. I was born down on the Gulf, and I love the tropical climates, and I love the beach, and I love the waters, and I guess if I had my choice, I'd just be right down there in the middle of it. But God's told me to be in Joplin. Now you say, well, that's kind of a bum deal. Yeah, no, but that's really good, because he could have told me to be in Chicago or in Alaska, or, you know, so I'm real happy with Joplin. How about you? And so God has us in a place. I see people running. Through the years, I've seen people run to another town, another state, over because of a job or whatever, and I've seen them get out of place. And they spend the rest of their life struggling, trying to find God and trying to find out. And you end up settling. Oh, God still loves you, and you still maybe are able to do things, but you settle for something less than He has for you. That message is kind of hard if you just bought a place in Florida, isn't it? But anyway, I believe God places us in a church. I believe He places us where He wants us to be. In 1974, February the 10th, God put me in a church. Now, I've tried many, many times to leave it and go somewhere else, but I know it's too important for me to be where God told me to be. I believe He puts you in a place, in a church. I believe everybody listening to this on TV, He has a place for you to put you where He can nurture you and where He can bring you to where you need to be. Talking to a lot of people that are just seem to be wondering generalities, and they just seem to be going from here to there and all around. And hey, listen, I believe if you're looking for a church, I believe you ought to try the different church. I think you ought to try. But my point is this. I believe God has a place for you where you can grow and mature, where you can be trained to be all that He wants you to be. Now let me clarify that. To be trained, I'm talking about to be trained by the Holy Spirit. We've depended on the church, and we've depended on the pastor, and we've depended on the staff, and we've depended on as far, and that's all good. We should have a dependency on these, but the truth is, see, my job as your pastor, if we don't get any further than this, we'll get this because it'll help you. My job is not to change you. My job is to try to get you close to the one that can change you. We've already been hearing that in our songs and in what Greg and what Kenny said. We've already been hearing the message. And I don't believe God places you in a church to change anything. I believe He places you somewhere to be changed. Okay? Now, in the process, we all change each other. In the process, we move to be what God wants us to be. I don't know. A lot of pastors got a lot of different agendas, a lot of different things, and I just believe God tells each one of us what we're supposed to do. But I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you as much as I can help you, but I've learned that the only way that I can help you is if I can get you closer to God. if I can get you closer, where you hear him better, where you are able to respond to him. The relationship with him is what's important. Now that doesn't take away, I need to work harder, and I need to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to, Ephesians, Paul said, he's given the gifts to the church to equip you for the ministry and to edify you. So I need to be an encourager, but I need to care about you. And I just want to say this. I can't tell you everything you need to know in 30 or 45 minutes on Sunday morning. Okay? But if I can say enough that helps you tune in to the one that will lead you and guide you into all truth, then you'll make it. God, let me know that my purpose, if you give me your heart, if you give me your trust, my purpose then is not to build myself. It's not to build a ministry. You're not giving me your heart so you can be abused and used, but you're giving me your heart so I can deposit God in your heart. Because the closer you get to him, the less everything out here is going to bother you. The less you're going to pay attention to the problems. And I know we're trained to watch and have somebody perform, but I want praise leaders, praise singers, musicians, I just want you to know, you guys, it isn't your job to get everybody pumped up. It's your job to worship the Lord up here. Worship him, and any of us that come in tune, ready to hear, we'll be hearing you, and we'll be tuning in, and he'll be speaking to us. So I want to eliminate this pressure stuff, because I don't operate good under pressure, and I don't want any of y'all to operate under pressure. But I'm here to help you, and I'm here to, and you need that. You need a pastor that'll care about you. I'm not as good a pastor as I'm going to be, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. Last week I was talking to Todd, and I mentioned, he said something about, oh, how long have you been pastor? And I said, well, I've been a pastor for about the last year or year and a half. I said, now I've had the position for about 13 years, but I've only begun learning to be a pastor recently. And so I'm saying that because I want you to trust me and trust that I won't misuse or abuse. Trust that anything I do or anything that happens, I've got your well-being in mind. And I can't tell you, give God some praise if you want to. I can't tell you everything you need to know. And there's going to be sometimes, I don't miss a whole lot of days in a year. Usually two or three, maybe this year it might be three or four or five. I don't know, but that's not very many for a year. But you need to understand that this is where God's placed you, and this is where he wants to touch you. And I say that because I mean it feels good when somebody says, oh, I didn't want to come because you weren't preaching. That feels good to the flesh. But see, I want you to, if I have somebody speak, whether it's Greg, Doug, Frank, and I could mention many others of you. If I have somebody speak, it's because I believe they have something to say that would help you. Does that make sense? So trust me and trust the Lord and come every week expecting to hear something, okay? Come, because if you're not in the right place, you don't get what God's got for you. So let's move on. I want to read you something out of 1 Kings here. Is that all right if I say that stuff? I don't take the time to say things that I need to say, and so I'm just going to start doing it. God's building a family here, and we're doing quite well, and God's a pretty good God. He just is able to take care of everything we need and to bless us. And it's time now for those of you. It's time that have come into this place. It's time for you to just join in. But it's time for all of us to begin to ask everybody we see and invite them to church. It's time for this place to fill up. And it's going to fill up by us asking people to come to church. Not by praying. And you need to pray. not by some magic hooky-pooky. No, just go say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Why don't you come over and see what we're doing? And if they don't like us, we'll help them find another place, won't we? But I just think it's important that God places you where you need to be. And when he tells you where you need to be and you have that confirmation in here, don't expect him to keep telling you that for 6 months or 6 years. He told me in 1974, this is where I'm supposed to be. I never questioned it. I never left. Did you, Kenny? I just never left. I left for a while to go pastor a church for 7 years. But you know what? When that was done, you know where I came? I came back home. Anyway, I don't know who all that was for. But I want to read you something out of 1 Kings 17. It says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, and which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Now, this is an interesting story. Everybody, how many's read this story and heard sermons about this story? And I love Elijah. I love to read about him and study about him. But God told Elijah, he said, you go and tell Ahab that you're going to speak and there's not going to be any more rain. Now, I don't know, you know, for a lot of years I just thought, well, that's just a good story. Why did he tell him to go do that? Just so we'd have a powerful story in the Bible where we would know how strong God was? No, you see, there was something going on at the time. If you look backwards, it says he says that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In other words, it says Ahab ticked God off. Okay, now you can make me mad, you can make anybody mad, but the one person you don't want mad at you is God. And if you'll read it, I won't take time to read it, but he said he built an altar of Baal for Baal, and he built a wooden image and made them all worship it. But here's the thing that was going on at the time. This is why God did this whole thing. The people worshiped Baal. It was a form of worship that was very depraved, and it involved the ceremonial killing of babies. Baal was the god of agriculture, and they made human sacrifices to him because they believed that Baal, not Jehovah, was in charge of all the seasons and all the weather. And so they made human sacrifices, sacrificed babies. So Elijah shows up and says, it's not going to rain for 3 years. You're not even going to get any dew. Now, don't you know in all that 3 years, you have to read between the lines a little bit, but in all that 3 years, all those prophets of Baal were praying to Baal. And it was like Elijah was saying, this is the way it is, If Baal really exists, pray to him and let him send some rain. By the time 3 years was over, they were convinced. There wasn't any doubt by the time Elijah got done who the real God was. Does that make sense? Now I thought about that. You know, God could have just, he could have just went and wiped old Ahab out. But he picked a man. If God wants to do something in the earth, he picks a man or a woman. He picks a human. He picks a person. Because we're the ones he made to run this place. We're the ones he made to work here. He made this earth for us. And so he picked a man to go do and say what needed to be said and done. What was the problem? What was the purpose? The purpose was, we're going to stop this mess. Been enough babies killed. We're stopping this. I just wonder what would have happened if Elijah wouldn't have went. Well, if he wouldn't have been in the right place, first off, to be able to send him. But he must have been a man that was seeking God and close to God, because God knew, if I tell you to do this, you can do it. You'll do it. But I wonder if Elijah hadn't have gone, just a thought, I just wonder how many more babies would have been killed if Elijah hadn't have done that, done what he was told to do. So maybe it was important. I love in the story here, God told Ahab, told Elijah, said, you go tell Ahab that it's not going to rain no more, and then get out of there. Huh? Get out of there. In other words, he's saying, get out of there, because he's not going to like what you say, and he'll kill you. So he said, you go tell him what I said, and then get out of there. I wonder how many of us get ourselves in a place sometimes where we won't hear anything that we don't want to hear. What if you hear something you don't like? Or see, I believe a pliable, tender heart with God keeps us in a place where if we hear something we need to hear, we don't get mad about it and go stomping off. Doesn't mean we like it, but it means maybe this is something I need to deal with. Maybe this is something I need to help. Just a thought. But God knew human nature. And I don't know about you, I try to pay attention. Not that I always do, but I try. But anyway, it says, go, get out of here, go to the brook. So he didn't just say, run for your life. He said, no, go. He said, I've prepared a place for you. Go to the brook. See, God knew what was going to happen when Elijah told Ahab that, and God already had him covered. He already had a place prepared. He said, I'm going to command the ravens to feed you. And you know, they brought him bread and meat, it says. I don't know how they cook bread. I don't know where they got that. But you know, when God commands something, it's going to be done. When he says it, it's going to happen. It says he commanded the ravens to feed him, and they brought him bread and meat twice a day, and he drank that cool water out of the brook. Wow. Do you know, a lot of things in our life don't go the way we planned. If you haven't noticed it yet, we get a lot of opposition. We get a lot of things happen to us in our life. But you know what? I believe that God, everything, he knows everything that's in your path. He knows everything that's going to happen. And I believe he has a place prepared for you, for your safety. I don't believe that you have to do without. I don't believe everybody's worried about this country and the finances and all. Hey, I don't know. God's got a place prepared for me. And if he says, move over here, then I'm going to move over here and stand. I'm not going to spend 3 weeks asking, well, why do you want me to stand over here, God? Why do you want me? I was just pretty comfortable over here. Why do you want me over here? No. If I think he's telling me stand over here, I'm going to stand over here. Because, see, I believe it's important to be at the right place at the right time. So a lot of things come against us, but he has a place prepared for you. And I believe that everything that we do is part of his big plan. I believe there's a big picture. And for me to fit in the big picture, then I have to make the little picture work. I don't have to understand everything about the big picture. I just need to understand what he's got for Hank. See, our life's like a book, but we got a lot of chapters in it. You know, and I don't know what chapter you're in today, but I promise you, God's got you covered. He's got you controlled, or he's got it under control. And so if we will listen and obey, see, I think the key is hearing God. I think the key is if I can get you in a place to where you hear God, you know, then I don't have to worry. Am I going to say something wrong? Am I going to say something right? Because we're going to hear God. And I promise you, none of us are going to hear God right all the time. How many ever thought you heard God and it was just a good idea? Yeah. But if I can hear him, then I know where the next step is. And I'm learning that if he says, stand over to the right of that, to the left of that, Hank, and it'll be okay. If he knows something's going to fall there, he can tell me, stand over here. See, I just believe that it's that important. So I guess probably instead of me, I believe we ought to pray, Lord, let me hear you more, hear me. But what I've started praying is, Lord, let me be in the right place. Yeah, help me be at the right place at the right time. Huh? I mean, if somebody's handing out $100 bills and they're handing them out at 8 o'clock, how many know you don't want to get there at 8:05? Huh? If we will listen and obey, he says, it'll always be okay. Jesus kind of said that in John 14:21. He said, he who hears my command. Let me just say that in a way so you can understand that and apply it to your life. He says, if you hear what I say and do it, you're the one that loves me, and my Father will love you, and I'll love you, and I'll manifest myself to you. I'm going to tell you what, folks. Now, if Jesus manifests himself to me, there's just nothing else really makes any difference. I don't care what the enemy throws at me. If Jesus manifests himself to me, glory to God, it's going to be okay. Do you understand? Yes, that means the written word. Yes, that means, you know, but we get this written word, we get it in us, that's our inward compass, but we're to hear that voice. God didn't, if you read all those scriptures in John there, he tells me, he said, now I can't tell you anymore now, but I'm going to tell you some more. How? Because the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send my Spirit, and he's going to live in you, and he's going to be able to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to tell you everything he hears me say. He's going to tell you everything he hears Daddy say. He's not going to say anything on his own. He's going to tell you what he hears. That's pretty powerful, folks. He said, everything I have is yours. Everything the Father has is mine. So everything we have is yours. He's going to let you know everything you need to know. That's a pretty good deal, folks. Huh? You ought to be a little more excited about it than that. But anyway, God said, told Elijah, said, go to the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. I love what it says here. It says, Elijah went. He didn't say, well, God, what? I can't leave my house. I got all this stuff. He went to the brook. God said, go to the brook. Said, if you do it, as soon as you tell him that, say, go to the brook. It says, Elijah went. I love that. Why was it important for Elijah to go to the right place, to be in the right place? Because that right place is where God sent the blessing. Stay with me for just a minute. That right place, that place he told him to be, is where he sent the blessing to. It's like you ever watch a football game? The football players don't memorize where each other's at. They memorize where each other's supposed to be. The quarterback doesn't throw a ball and look to see where the runner is. No, the quarterback throws the ball to where the receiver's supposed to be. And if everybody's in tune, that's why they have a huddle, so they can tell you the play. And if everybody's listening to the play and everybody's in the right place at the right time, what happens? They get a touchdown. Elijah had to go where God told him to go because that's where he sent the blessings to. He didn't say, ravens, go find Elijah and give him the blessings. He said, ravens, take it to this spot on the brook. He sent the blessing where Elijah was supposed to be. He commanded the blessing to go to where he told Elijah to go. Folks, is it important to be at the right place at the right time? Well, I just don't know. Things just aren't going. Well, you need to find out where your brook's at. You need to be thinking, God, where's the blessing at? Well, he told me today to go to the hospital and visit this one, and I didn't go. You missed the right place. Do you know I've been standing at the hospital before, and somebody walked by me, and God say, give them $100, or give them $50. I've been standing at the hospital, and somebody I didn't even know come by, and God said, go pray for them. Now, you know, if you were told to go to the hospital and you didn't go, I wonder who got your $100. I wonder who got your prayer. Well, something to think about. Did you ever stop to think, what if Elijah wouldn't have gone? He would have starved to death. And he would have been going, God, I did what you told me. How come I'm having all these hard times? I did what you told me to do. Did you ever stop to think, if Elijah hadn't went, them ravens would have kept taking that food and bread to that one spot every day, and it would have just piled up and rotted. You with me? Why? Because that's what God said. He said, take the blessing over there. Well, maybe some of us need to be asking God, where's my rotten pile at? Where's my pile at? You see, I'm learning that when I'm obedient, God always has me at the right place at the right time. And most of the time, I don't understand it. Most of the time, I don't know what's going on, but it really doesn't matter what I know, because I know the one that does know. Well, something to think about. Can't you just see all that food just rotting over there, piled up? What if Elijah went to the wrong spot on the brook, man? How do you reckon? How do you think he knew where to go? I think old Elijah just headed toward the brook, and he started looking to see which way the ravens were going. And he said, right over there. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, it is. Some of you, this is going to hit you in the middle of the night. God had a plan for Elijah before the difficulty came. All Elijah had to do was listen and be obedient and go to where he told him, and he was taken care of. I love verse 7. Verse 7 says, and it happened after a while. Can't you see old Elijah just sitting there, man? And he didn't have to work for the food. He's just sitting there. He's sitting there getting fat, eating bread and meat, man, and drinking that cool water from the spring. And he's just sitting there, man. That is a picture of our salvation, by the way. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. It's been given to us. Some of you trying so hard, you just need to relax and let God show you where's the right place. And just be in the right place. That just means do what he shows you to do. And when you go to do what he shows you to do, he's always going to take care of you. But it says that it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Imagine that. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. In the beginning of the next verse says, so he arose and went. You know, I thought about this. God, Elijah could have sit there at the dry brook and said, oh God, how come this dried up? He could have sit there and thought, I'm out of God's will. I mean, he could do like some of us when the brook dries up. Anybody ever had the brook dry up? Or at least you thought it was going to dry up. And say, oh God, why is this happening to me? Well, Elijah could have said that, but it would be happening because he didn't go where God told him to go. Was it important? Was it important to go? I see a whole lot of lessons in this, and I don't have time to give them, so maybe we'll do some more. But he said, I've commanded the widow to provide for you. We know the story. But how important was it for Elijah to go and be at that place? Well, he would have starved to death if he'd have stayed at the dry brook, because the blessing wasn't coming there anymore. How important was it? Well, that's where God was going to provide for him. How important was that to the widow and her son, that Elijah go and be at the right place at the right time? They would have starved to death in the famine too. You see, you're being in the right place at the right time isn't just for you. It doesn't just involve your destiny. It affects somebody else's also. The lady, God had spoken to the lady, but if Elijah had never shown up, she would have never given him the provision, and then she would have never had the provision for her and her son. See, probably part of your provision is for somebody else. You know, I don't pray for God to meet my needs. I pray for him to give me more than enough so I can meet my needs. And then if I see you and I can help you, I can help you also. Does that make sense? How important was it for the widow to obey, to hear and obey and be at the right place? Well, first off, she would have starved to death, but second off, her son, when he died, wouldn't have gotten raised from the dead. So how important is it? You see, how important is it for you to be at the right place at the right time? How many's ever believed God for something? I mean, you had an urgent need, you believed God for something, and it didn't come. You didn't see it. It didn't happen. Come on, be honest. You know why it didn't happen? Because somebody else wasn't listening, and they weren't at the right place at the right time. Been about a year or so back, but I was getting ready to come into church on a Sunday morning, and God said, when you see so-and-so, if they're at church, they've been asking me for a need. If you see them there, I want you to give them this amount of money. Man, I came to church. I looked. Didn't tell me what the need was. Didn't tell me what they'd been praying for. He just said, when you see them, if they come to church, he said, you give them this amount of money. They didn't come to church. And so you know what I did after church? I said, Lord, I'll take it to their house. And man, I mean, I got a jolt inside. He said, I didn't say that. I told you if they come, you give it to them. Well, that jolted me. Of course, that ought to make you come to church every Sunday. But that jolted me because it made me realize how many times have I not been in the right place at the right time? How many times have I been asking God and believing God for something and I wasn't where I was supposed to be? I wasn't where He sent the ravens to. Something to think about. Well, have I made my point? I had a lot more, but I think that's probably enough. What's the scripture we started off with? 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has set the members, each one of them, each one of us, in the body just as He pleased. Can I tell you something? If you're here today, you're not here by accident. If you're part of this church, you're not here by accident. You're here because God's placed you here. You know how many people in the last 6-8 months, and I'm not saying this to make anybody feel guilty, So we'll cut this, we won't show this part on TV, but do you know how many people in the last 6 or 8 months that have came up to me, they've come to a service, most of them watched on TV and then they came, but they came up to me and told me, man, we've been looking for a church and this is where God told us to be and they're not here. They're not here. Some are. I mean, get that corrected there. Some of you are. You understand my point. It isn't that we're something great. It isn't that I'm something great. I mean, if you've been around here a long time, you know better than that. You know I'm not anything great. But it's because God has a plan. He has a place for you. He has a destiny for you. And where you are right now prepares you for the next place that you're supposed to be, the next step that you're supposed to take. That's just better than we realize yet. That's better information than we realize. My point is, you know, if you're here, you're not here by accident. You're here for God to do something big in your life. If you're part of this church, God sent you here to help us build this church, build this family that we're building, and reach all the hurting people in this area. And in the process of trying to accomplish God's plan, He takes all of us individually and accomplishes our plan in our life. Does that make sense? So put all your job and all your family and all your intentions and all your goals and all that, put them all under the umbrella of God. What do you want? That makes sense? God, what is your will for my life? And when we're going after His will, if we're seeking His kingdom first, then He'll add everything else to us. He'll make those dreams come alive inside of you. He'll make those things manifest in your life because you're going after Him and He wants His kids blessed. See, the beauty of this story? Doesn't matter where you are. Where you are in life. All He wants is you. All He wants is for you to do what you can do. And He will increase what you can do. Carl and Carol, I mentioned here. Carl was big, got big in Keebler. And I don't remember all the titles and all this. And you told me part of the story and Greg's told me part of the story. But man, he had crews of people he was training and he was a big shot in Keebler, man. And you know what he said, though? He told Greg and he told me this different times. He said, you know, all I'm doing is what God taught me to do in bus ministry. I'm taking the principles that he applied, that he taught me, and I'm applying this to the world. And said, it's working. And man, they thought Carl hung the moon. And they shot him out of the moon, but they thought he hung the moon. Ladies, you just did a conference. You just think the results you saw, it doesn't have really a whole lot to do with anything. You don't know what God's been building into you. I'm telling you, if Jesus tarries 10, 15 years from now, you're going to be looking back and going, man, that's what you were trying to teach me. That's what you were building into me. Well, now you know why I was in such a hurry to say this stuff today. God's let me have a little glimpse of down the road, and I just can't wait to see those smiles on your faces this big. I just can't wait to see that wow factor in your life. I just love to hear the stories that are starting, and people are going, I can't believe what God did for me. Oh, just buckle up. You haven't seen anything yet. And the world's going, whoa, bad, bad, bad. I loved what Todd said last time. Like a diamond, you always put a black cloth behind a diamond and make it sparkle. Hey, there's a black cloth spread across this nation. And bless God, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to sparkle. I'm ready to shine. I'm ready to let the world see what my God can do. Their God can't make it rain, but my God can. They're going to be looking at you and going, well, all the economy's so bad. How come you're still getting new cars and you're still getting blessed and you're still having... Because the one I serve. Because of the one I serve. Well, did I say anything to help you? Holy Spirit, help us. Teach us what we just heard. Teach us what we just heard. I'll say this, you're not here by accident today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not here by accident. God's got you at the right place, at the right time. And if you don't know you're right today, this is the time for you to get right. This is the time for you to walk out of here knowing. I don't care if you've been sitting here for months. If you don't know that you're right with the Lord, maybe you're sitting here and you know you're not right with the Lord. Somebody sitting here, you've never even asked Him into your heart. This is your day. Don't let this day pass. Don't let this right time, right place pass. This is your time. So if you need to come to the Lord, if you need to, we're going to have an invitation, and I'm not going to beg you. Because you know if God's talking to your heart, you know if He's pulling your heart. Somebody here, you just say, well, I'm saved, but something's been tugging me. Why don't you just come down this altar and pray too? If you want one of us to pray with you, we will. If you don't, we'll leave you alone and let you pray. But don't leave here today. This isn't an accident that you're here today. Don't leave here today without knowing for sure. Everybody stand. If you don't know you're right with the Lord today, come. If you're here and you've been saved and you've never been baptized, come. We got somebody that'll baptize you. We got the robes and towels and everything you need. But if you're here today and you know you're not right, something's been pulling at your heart, you come down as we sing this song. And if you just want to come and pray about something, you come and do it. But now's your time. We're not going to prolong. You do it right now. Know who you are. It's not an accident that you're here today. You say, well, I've slipped, Hank. Well, come on down and let's pray with you. If you've slipped off, then we want to slip you back on. If you've slid back, we want to help you slide forward. See, it's not a big deal to fall as long as you fall forward. Just get up every time. And move a little closer. Some have come. Do you need to come? If you need to come, hurry. Don't leave yet, because I want to speak a blessing on you before you go. Somebody, you're feeling that tug in there, and it's so strong that it's all you can do to stand there and not come down. That's not the objective. The objective is to follow that tugging, follow that leading, and come on. Come on, we want to pray with you. I'm going to close. I'm going to wait a minute. If you need to come, come. If you need to come, come. Sorry, Lord. This is more important than whether we get to the march on time or whether we get to the restaurant on time. This is more important than anything else. Sing one more quick chorus. If you need to come, come. Whoever you are, there's still one more. Still one more. God's pulling and tugging at your heart. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. Praise the Lord. Whoever you are, as soon as even after we dismiss, come on down, because we still want to pray with you. I want you walking out of here today knowing that Jesus is your Lord and knowing that you're on your way to heaven when you die. Okay? I was standing over there and God said, you're not standing in the right place. And so I walked over to this side. This is where the fan was blowing. I went, I get it now. Everybody say, Lord, help me be in the right place. Pray that for a few days. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. It's an honor to be your pastor. If you're visiting today, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information about the church. But if you're visiting today, I'm probably supposed to be your pastor. How about that? So I hope you'll come back and just jump in here and see what God's doing and be part of this with us. If you're already here, I hope that you'll jump in and say, God, what's my place? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? I promise you, when you start doing what God wants you to do, I'll step out of your way. There won't be nobody hold you back. We might prune a little bit, or we might guide a little bit, but we won't hold you back. I speak God's blessings on you, and I believe Him to touch you in every area of your life. I believe Him to touch you spiritually, physically, mentally. I believe God to be big in your life. I believe this to be one of the best weeks you've ever had, and something good is going to happen to you this week because Jesus says so. If you believe that, say praise the Lord and tell Him you love Him. I love y'all. I'll see you next time.